take it, start at Romans chapter 4. We were talking last week about the negative side. And just to remind you one thing while I'm looking for that, that the negative side was what they spoke in the ears of God, he said, I will do. Think about that. Our confession guides and directs our lives to what happens in our lives. Now, we don't get off on this. And I've been in churches where they start going around and they say, don't say that or don't do that. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying sometimes confession, what we've been speaking out of our heart, when the pressure of life is on and we begin to speak, that's what's truly in our heart. And that's what truly God hears. And that's what truly allows him to move positively or negative. And we need to come into the revelation of that. In Romans 4 and 17 is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickened the dead and calleth those things that be not as though they were. I want you to know in the Greek that is actually calling those things to exist that don't exist. In other words, I switched that around. It actually says calling those things that do not exist as they exist. And you will see this morning that this is very important. That through our confession, through what we speak, through the word of God that has brought illumination or brought faith into our spirit, when we begin to speak that, we begin to release that faith inside of us and we begin to call those things that do not exist as they exist. And that's very powerful. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. How did he become the father of many nations? According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. He was not weak in faith. How was he weak in faith? He considered not his own body null and dead. We've been talking about that. We have weak faith when we walk by our natural faith, which goes by what we see, what we can touch, what we can hear, what we can reason, what circumstances begin to squeeze on us. We can pick that up with natural faith and begin to speak that out of our mouth. Like Peter began to sink. As Thomas said, I won't believe unless I see. And so forth and so on. That's weak faith. He'd always say, oh ye of little faith. He was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. That word unbelief there means could not be persuaded. When you begin to get into circumstances, you hear the word of God preached to you. And we know, we'll see in Romans 10:17 that faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. When faith begins to come, Mark chapter 4, around verse 15 says, when the word goes forth, immediately Satan comes to steal that word. And so we know all of a sudden when we begin to have faith in our spirit, we begin to have faith in our life, we also know that we're going to have spiritual activity. The devil's going to be coming on in. He's going to be stirring to steal that seed through persecution, afflictions, lust of other things, cares of this world, all kinds of ways the devil will try to come in to steal that seed. And what he's trying to do is unpersuade you to stagger at what God promised you in his word so that you'll pick up that natural faith with what you see or what you hear or what you reason and begin to speak that, calling those things that now already exist to go bigger and exist greater. But faith, real faith, calls those things that do not exist as they exist. Abram was 75 years old. He had not a seed. And God tells him that he's going to be the father of many nations. He called those things that be not or did not exist as it exists. And Abraham did not stagger at the promises of God through unbelief. Some people just will never be persuaded. No matter how many times God brings the word to them, they'll still turn around and walk in natural faith. Israel saw the 10 most greatest miracles recorded in the Word of God, and they could not be persuaded to believe in God. And that generation walked around for 40 years to it died in their wilderness. What happens, Pastor, if I can't be persuaded to believe God and His Word and the promises of the Word, you will walk around in your wilderness till you die from this life. You will probably stay an immature Christian, weak in the body, weak in the mind, weak in the spirit, constantly facing weakness, constantly facing sickness, even maybe death. But if we get a hold of the Word of God and we get persuaded that God is able to do what He said He is able to do, it will begin to build strong faith in us. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing the Word of God. goes on and says, was strong in faith, thanking God, giving him glory. Thank you, Lord. When Jesus and John 11 come to Lazarus' tomb after 4 days, and he began to talk to Mary and Martha, but right before he called him to come forth, Lazarus, come forth, he said this, Lord, I thank you. I thank you. Lord, I give you glory that you hear me always. So think about that. Before he raised Lazarus from the dead, he prayed about it. He talked about it. He knew in his spirit that God was going to raise him from the dead. He was satisfied. He was persuaded that what God said he would do, he would perform it. And he said, Father, I would not pray this, but because of those around me that are full of unbelief, I thank you that you hear me always. Faith gives you a boldness when there's none other around to believe. He was strong in faith. Thank you, Lord, that you hear me. Thank you, Lord, your word works. Thank you, Lord, what you promised me will come to pass. Being fully persuaded that what he has promised, he is able to perform. When do you have strong faith in your lives? When it's in your spirit, in your mouth, when you are absolutely persuaded, no matter what happens, no matter what comes knocking at your door, no matter what circumstance creeps into your life, you will not confess what you see or hear or taste or reason out or the circumstances. You will still make your stand on the word of God, and you will still speak what God promised in your spirit, calling those things that do not exist as though they exist. And I want to show you that this morning. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. God said, I'm not done these scriptures. I thought we'd be moving on, but he wants to do a little bit more work. Hebrews 11, 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Against hope, Abraham believed in hope. And I showed you another day, I'll show you that hope is standing on the promises of God. This hope is established on his promises. We get a hope. When nobody else can give us a hope, God can give us a hope by the word. His brings a spiritual hope into us. The evidence, now watch this, it's the evidence of things not seen. Verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Did God walk in this? Verse 3, through faith we understand that these worlds were framed, prepared, created, made by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Faith takes the word of God and begins to call those things that do not exist as though they exist. Genesis chapter 1, we get an eyewitness of what was just said in Hebrews 11, verse 3. In verse 2, the earth was without form, void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, on the waters. The earth's underwater. And the Spirit of God, though, is moving upon the face of these waters. God calls those things that do not exist as they exist. There's full darkness over the whole earth covered with water. It's void and formless. And God said in verse 3, let there be light. He called what was not in existence as though it existed. He said, light be. And then there was light. Remember, natural faith wants to see it before it believes it. But our faith is not built on what we see. It's built on the promises of God's word. It's built on what he has promised us that he will do for us and has already done for us through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, we see that faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And to get strong faith, I looked that up in the Greek. You know what it means? It means like when a baby's born in the natural, it usually gets jaundiced because their kidneys can't even digest the milk, the breast milk of the mother. That body is so weak that it begins to feed on breast milk, and they'll encourage the mother every 3 to 4 hours to breastfeed, even if you don't feel like it or the baby doesn't want to eat. Why? Because that baby's body begins to get stronger and stronger and stronger. And so switch that over to the realm of the Spirit. If you want to get strong faith, even when you don't feel like studying the Word of God, even when you don't feel like meditating on God, you continue to put that seed, you continue to put that promise in your spirit, and you think on it and ask the Holy Spirit to open your eyes of your spirit, and you begin to see into the things of the Spirit, and He'll begin to show you that truth, and that truth will set you free. Begin to show you things, what He wants to do in your life. Let's look at a story, Mark chapter 5. In Mark 5, I want to show you what I just read to you on these scriptures in a life, living, vivid story. In Mark 5, in verse 25, we see a woman. And this woman had a plague or an issue of blood for 12 years. And I began to look that up, the issue of blood. According to Leviticus, this woman was unclean. She had to be separated. And anybody that would touch anything she sat on, lied upon, or came near were also unclean for a day till the sun went down. So this woman has had a flow of blood like the menstrual cycle, and it won't stop. This went on in her life for 12 years. Some believe that she's anemic. She's losing that potential in the blood. And so she's suffering in her body. She's weak. It goes on to tell us here that she spent everything that she had, all of her wealth, all of her property, everything that she owned in this life, she spent to get healthy. To me, this shows that this woman wanted to live and to be healthy. And she spends everything that she has on doctors. And the Bible goes on to say that she did not get better, but she grew worse. That's verse 26. Verse 27, when she heard about Jesus. Remember in Romans 10, that word hearing means a report, a fame, news. Something goes out about Jesus. Something goes out about the Word. You hear the teaching, the preaching of the Word, and the Word brings forth faith. There is no other way for faith to come. In Luke chapter 5, verse 15, but so much more when a fame abroad about Jesus, great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by Him of their infirmities. And Luke 6, in verse 17, and He stood and He came down to them and stood in the plain in the company of the disciples, and a great multitude of people came out of all Judea, Jerusalem, from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear Him and to be healed of their diseases. Notice that Jesus put the hearing of the Word before miracles, because He knew that faith would come by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So this woman is starting to hear that there's an anointing power on Jesus, that there's a flow that comes out of Him that can recreate a body to make it whole again, to make it healthy again. She begins to hear this, and faith begins to rise in her spirit. And in Matthew chapter 9, it says she begins to speak to herself. She begins to talk to herself and said, if I can just touch the hem of His garments, I will be healed. Calling those things that do not exist as though they exist. She's weak. She's sick. The blood is still flowing. She's anemic. She's unclean. She's supposed to be separated. But she gets faith that rises up and overcomes all those obstacles in her life. And she begins to call into existence what did not exist. I will be healed. Was she healed? Absolutely not. She was still flowing with the same flow of blood for 12 years. But faith begins to be created in the realm of the Spirit first. Not your head, not your reasoning capacities, not your senses. Faith begins to be built inside your spirit. The Word of God is spirit, is truth. The Spirit is truth. God is truth. And my truth will set you free. And truth is hearing a fame or report of what God can do. And by that hearing, faith comes. By the hearing and hearing of the Word of God. The more she heard of what Jesus was doing, the more her faith began to rise. And the more she began to talk to herself, not to anybody else. She talked to herself. In Romans 14, it says, have your faith between yourself and God. Prove it out. Test it out. Walk it out. She's walking out her faith before God and herself. She says, when I touch His garment, I will be healed. calling those things that do not exist as though they exist. Building your faith on what has been spoken. God's word said in Isaiah 53, by his stripes ye will be healed. In Matthew 8, 16 through 17, he begins to show us and walk that out in his own ministry. She's hearing how people are being healed and how the power of God comes off of Jesus. And she begins to crave that. She begins to desire that. She begins to believe in that. She's beginning to get strong faith. She's beginning to get persuaded that what God said he's able to do. She's persuaded, and she's weak. She's unclean. She's not supposed to touch anybody. And she begins to squeeze herself into that crowd, touching many people, making them unclean according to the law. But her faith in her heart and in her mouth is overruling everything else. If I can just touch his hem, the tassel that just hangs off his robe, just tap it with my finger, I will be healed. She said, if I may touch his clothes, I shall be whole. Verse 29, when she touched him and said, I will be whole, immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. When did she get healed? After speaking her faith and acting it out. See, what happens a lot of times in our life is we want to see it, then we'll believe it. When I know that I know that I know that I know in the natural, when I know that I know that I know in my thinking, then I'll do it. Thomas, blessed are those that have not seen and do believe. Faith calls those things that do not exist as though they exist. He said into that darkness, light be, and there was light. This woman is talking her faith to herself and said, my body's going to be whole. This fountain's going to dry up. I'm going to be healthy again. I'm weak. I'm sick. I'm poor. I'm broke. I have nobody that loves me. I'm an outcast. I'm unclean. But by my faith, I am whole, because when I touch Jesus, I will be whole. When she touched him, she was whole. When she get healed? After speaking to herself her faith. And in the Greek, it's an imperfect. It tells you there's no time zone in this. Each of us will take a longer season to get strong faith. Don't get off on that. Keep building strong faith, just like that baby keeps milking the breast milk, keep feeding you the word of God. Keep sowing that seed into your spirit. Keep putting that promise of God in your heart. And eventually, you don't know how, faith will begin to rise in your heart and in your mouth. Straightway, that fountain was dried up. Jesus, immediately, knowing in himself. So get a picture of this. There's thousands of people, tens, hundreds, thousands, a great multitude thronging on Jesus, touching him, and trying to get a touch of God, hoping they'll get something. They came maybe even with some of the same needs, weak, sick, poor, hopeless. But they're only coming by their reasoning and by their senses, because they're believing that this is really real. If God is in this, if this man is really anointed, if this man really has something, if this man really can heal, then when I touch him, I will be whole. Because multitudes came out to hear him, to touch him, to be whole. I read that to you in Luke 6, verse 17. They've been hearing about this. Tens, hundreds of thousands are touching him. Nothing happening. All of a sudden, this woman with faith, and she's been speaking to herself, that she said, if I can just press into that crowd, I know I'm unclean. I know that according to the law, I shouldn't do it. But man, my faith is just so strong, I got to do it. And when she touched him, immediately she knew in herself she was healed of that plague. And Jesus stopped in his tracks and said, somebody touched me. Somebody got a hold of me. Somebody got a hold of the power of God that's in and on me. And he stopped in his tracks. And he turned around and he started looking across in those eyes of love. And when the woman saw, she can't get away with this, she comes fear and trembling and falls down. Why did everybody else or nobody else get a touch that day? You need to think about this.
tens, hundreds, thousands touching Jesus that day. But one woman comes in with faith, touches him by saying, I will be healed. No different. Still has the flow of blood. Still sick. Still weak. And she said, when I touch him, I will be whole. He stops and said, somebody touched me. The divine dunamis has just flown out of me into you. Who touched me? In Luke, it says they all began to deny it. Peter and all that were with him, his apostles and the 120 that followed him around, that heard him teach and preach some of the most marvelous sermons that will probably ever be preached in this earth and in this realm, and they could not believe. He had to rebuke them for the hardness of heart and their unbelief in the upper room when he returned back after his resurrection. They all begin to deny it. We didn't touch you. We didn't touch you. That's not what Jesus was asking. Somebody knew how to touch me. Somebody out of these tens, hundreds of thousands of people learned how to touch me. They learned how to get a hold of the power of God that's in me. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He went to cities and villages, surrounding regions, healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases. And this woman that day received her healing. Thousands went home as a nobody. But one lady left that day as a somebody. Somebody that got the attention of God's personal thinking. You want to get the eyes of God on you? Get full of his word. Let faith begin to rise and begin to be persuaded to what he has said, what he has spoken, what he has written through with no private interpretation. That faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Jesus immediately knowing in himself that virtue, dunamis, divine power had gone out of him. He stopped and he turned himself about in that multitude of people and said, who touched my clothes? Who got a hold of the divine power of God today? Well, some believe in the sovereignty of God. That woman was predestinated before the foundation of earth to be healed. Maybe that's true, but I don't see it that way. I believe faith is how we learn to receive from God. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Without faith, it is impossible to call those things that do not exist to exist. He called light to be in existence, which were not even in existence. He called it and it appeared from what? There was no sun. There was nothing. Light came. This woman, sick, weak, dying, took a hold of the word of God and began to speak it and called into her body a healing that day. Did God heal her and heal her only because there's respect for persons with God? No, he said, somebody learned to touch me. Faith comes by hearing, 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 hearing the word of God. You want God to move in this church? Come tonight, I'm going to start teaching on some of this. If we can hook our faith up with the anointing power of the Spirit, you watch what God's going to begin to do. Jesus was a nobody. 30 years he lived in a no-now town, Bridgewater, Nazareth. No, I'm just kidding. And all of a sudden, at 30 years old, he gets filled with the Spirit after he comes up out of the water. God anoints him. He begins to go out and teach and preach. His fame went out. His report went out. Hearing, report, news, fame. Fame goes out about Jesus. I've been following it through. It's amazing. Even Harold. Heard about Jesus. And faith goes out. Faith goes out. Faith goes out. Hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. And the disciples begin to deny it. You see the multitude thronging. They didn't say to us, is this a joke? Who touched you? See, again, they're only looking in the natural. If I can get you to see that we can live in a realm of the Spirit. God is a spirit. We were created in the image of his likeness, and his word is spirit. If we can begin to walk in that, we can override any circumstance, any situation. You thought I forgot what I was saying, that this church can begin to grow and change by faith. Who touched me? He looked around about to see her who had done this thing. Now remember, she's only been speaking to her faith, to herself and God. I've been around some faith fanatics. They'll go around telling everybody they're healed. They got stuff running out of their body. They smell. They're dying. Then they die. And the natural faith around them says, wow, I guess God don't heal. Romans says, have faith between you and God. Now, after she's healed and called into existence, the woman fearing, verse 33, trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and then told all the multitude the truth. When do we give our testimonies about our faith? After God answers our faith. Who do we talk to before God answers our faith? God and yourself. When God fills this building and we have no room to park them, then we can go bragging on Jesus. But till that happens, you talk to yourself and to God. Because he's going to do a work on you. He's doing a work on me. Because there's something about the conviction, convincing, exposing, rebuking work of the Holy Ghost. John 16:8. Closing down here. She fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, God has healed you today because of respect of a person, because you're his favorite, and because you were predestinated before the world ever was to be healed. Now, tens, hundreds, thousands of people were touching Jesus that day. He said, somebody touched me. How's this church going to grow? By faith. We begin to believe that God can grow this place. He can increase it. What's been in the past is past. Once we ask forgiveness, it's washed under the blood and remembers it no more. If we truly ask him to forgive anything that's been done in the flesh, anything that's been done in the soul, anything that's been done in the spirit that's been unbalanced, as soon as we ask him, he remembers it no more, and we are not to bring it up to him ever again. We're clean slated, and we start out fresh. You get a hold of that. We're the righteousness of God. Daughter, thy faith has made you whole. Who made that woman whole? She called those things that did not exist as it existed. Who called it into existence? God did. No. God gave her the promise that he would heal her. Jesus was going about healing those that were diseased, tormented, and so forth and so on. He was going to cities and towns and villages, healing all the sick and all diseased. She heard about that and began to speak her faith to herself and to her God. She proved it out. This will be a testimony in my heart for the rest of my life. Daughter, my faith has made thee whole. Go in peace. Be whole of thy plague. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Father, this is a moment that this church and I must come to compensate it, comprehend it, think about it, meditate on it. How are we going to truly grow this place? How are we truly going to start the engine of this church? Father says, Lord, if you don't build this church, it's all done in vain. Lord, let us teach it, us, to do it through the promises of your word, that you're going to increase and multiply this place when we do the works of Jesus. Not only these works shall you do, but greater works than these shall you do if you believe. Father, teach us to begin to move in those works. We're the ambassadors of Christ. Teach us that we do have our part to put faith, action, works to our faith. And when we do, God, you can begin to bless this place. Father, I thank you for every heart that's heard this seed. I ask for the Holy Spirit to begin to continue to water this seed. Let it begin to increase into the life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.